We often wonder why, at times, people are willing to lose it all, that is, their health, their family, whatever they have, including their soul, for something that is destructive. Sometimes we wonder about the person who loses everything they have. The man leaves his family for the other woman, becomes alienated from his wife, his children, whatever they are, and yet he is enticed. Or the woman who leaves the husband for the enticement of some other person. The person who is enticed by gambling and is willing to spend the household income that is to be used for the family so that they can come into big money, and they lose it all. Their home, bankruptcy, destruction, but most of all, they lose their soul. Or the person that is willing to lose it all because of alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be, that becomes the most important thing in their life. And we wonder why. How could that happen? What is behind all of that? Well, the answer is that sin is deceiving. It is deceiving. It presents us with a picture of desirable pleasure, but it produces destruction. The immediate short-term pleasure of sin disguises the physical and the spiritual destruction that comes. That's what happens. Just like the dog chasing after the cat into the street is hit by the bus because of the attraction that the dog has for capturing that cat, that elusive cat. So it is with us as we go after whatever it is. Just like the fish that goes after the shrimp or the worm or whatever is used for the bait on the hook, and then winds up on the dinner table of the fisherman and his family. That's not where they wanted to be, but that's what happens. And so it is that we are distracted by the deceitfulness of sin. It appears to be one way when actually it is another. But we have the choice of either surrendering, as the title indicates, either surrendering or resisting deceitful sin. We have a choice. And this is what the title of the lesson, though albeit sort of a long title, are we going to surrender or are we going to resist? To resist, we must willingly and joyously pursue submission to Christ, who's more valuable than anything that we might temporarily acquire by sin. And if we make that choice, then we can avoid the pitfalls of going into the deceitful sin, where there is only destruction in this life and eternal destruction in the next that awaits us. So what do we have in mind in this short lesson? We have three examples of people who chose to be deceived by sin. And then we have three admonitions to help us to resist through Christ, that we don't fall into these things which will destroy us in the end. Remember Solomon? Solomon, the third king of the nation of Israel, in fact, the last king of the United Kingdom, where all the tribes were together, Saul and David preceding him. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord gave Solomon wisdom above all that had preceded him. Now, O Lord, Solomon said, my God, you have made your servant king, 1 Kings 3 and verse 7, in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people, who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant, verse 9, an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon says, please give me wisdom to know how to judge this people. And look how the Lord responded to Solomon. God said to him in verse 11, Because you have not asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for your discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. God not only gave Solomon wisdom, but he gave him the things that he did not ask for, the riches, the long life, the surrender of his enemies. But most of all, he gave the humble Solomon great wisdom to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And what is so amazing and so startling that even with that wisdom that is greater than any of us, even with that wisdom, Solomon in his later years became deceived by the deceitfulness of the flesh, the idolatrous women who he took to himself and married that led him away from serving God, and he became an idolater in his old age, falling away from God. That is how strong the deceptive nature of sin is. And that has taken away so many from serving God, the deceitfulness of the flesh, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or the fornication, adultery, whatever it may be. Many have succumbed to it. Solomon was one. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1, we can't hardly believe that we're reading about the same individual who had been blessed with such blessings from the Lord, including great wisdom. 1 Kings 11 and verse 1, now King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. So there's Solomon. Wise Solomon, but now foolish in the grip of deceitful sin. Verse 3. He had 700 wives. Is that enough for you? Some men destroy themselves for one woman. Being in an unscriptural marriage, adulterous marriage, or destroying a scriptural marriage, they will destroy themselves for one woman. He had 700. 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after Asheroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. That was the one they would put their children into the fiery furnace, the belly of the bronze statue, that they would burn their children alive, their young children, in honor of Molech. Verse 8, thus also he did for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Do you see what happened to Solomon? Can't hardly believe it's the same individual. But it was. Solomon surrendered to the deceitfulness of sin. We may say he knew better, but he didn't know well enough to resist. He went right away. Hundreds of women, and building idolatrous high places for them to worship their gods and for him to bow down as well. That's what happened to Solomon. We don't even have 700 women. It takes one or two that would destroy many men, or one or two men to destroy a woman. Turn our hearts away from serving God and go after all that we can focus on, whatever it is that attracts us from Christ. What about Saul? We studied Saul a few months ago. The first king of Israel, who initially was humble before God when Samuel said, "You're going to be king." It was Saul. In 1 Samuel 9 and verse 21, Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjaminite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family," he said, "the family of Kish, the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" And when they chose the humble Saul to be king, they couldn't find him because he was hiding. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 22. "Therefore they inquired further of the Lord, 'Has the man come here yet?' And so the Lord said, 'Behold, he is hiding himself by the baggage.'" But what happened to humble Saul? He became deceived by the pride of being king. He surrenders to rebellion, to jealousy, and to suicide, and spiritual suicide for that matter, the most important. You remember 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3, the Lord commanded, "Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Go destroy all of them, because they deserve the righteous judgment of God for their rebellion. Destroy man, woman, child, and animal. Don't leave anything alive." Then Saul came back with Agag the king. He came back with the choicest of the animals and the spoil that he had gotten from the Amalekites. When Samuel confronted him, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 20, then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the Lord. I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me." Let us try to be quiet now. I know the child has trouble, but we will continue to try to help him. Went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Saul said that I've done all the will of God. At the same time he was saying that, he said, I brought back Agag and I brought back the choice animals. Well, he said, but the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So he took responsibility to bring him back Agag. He blamed the animals, bringing them back on the people. But he said, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. He was deceived by pride. I have become king. He was entranced by being king. You know, some people aren't king of anything. They lose their soul because they're a nurse or they're a doctor or whatever they are, or they're whatever they are in their job. They're not anything close to being a king, but they give it all up. They give it all up to follow their own prideful desire and forget about the Lord Jesus. Well, Saul was a king. The king of Israel. But he became rebellious and proud toward God, wanting to hang on to that position in his own way more than he wanted to bring glory to God. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, as the Lord has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. You may deceive yourself in your pride, but God will not accept it. He said, I've rejected you. Then the rival of David, who became the hero after slaying Goliath, young David, and Saul saw him as a threat to his position, and for several years, the rest of his life, Saul sought to kill David. At first he praised David and raised him up to a position of prominence in the army. But then he heard the chanting of the people, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 7. The women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed, he said, thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So for the rest of his life, Saul tried to kill and murder David, who had done nothing but serve God. But Saul loved that position more than anything, and he would do anything, including rebelling against God, to hang on to that position of king. But on Mount Gilboa, some years later, after a 40-year reign, Saul found himself defeated by the Philistines, facing imminent torture and death. In 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 4. 1 Samuel 31 and verse 4, then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and pierce me through with it. Otherwise these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. And so Saul took his sword and fell on it. What once was a humble man willing to serve God became a man in defeat and pride and suicide. And more importantly, spiritual destruction in eternity. because he was deceived by pride. The pride of life, that's what got Saul. And that's what gets us when we love things of this life more than we love the Lord Jesus. That's what gets us if we're not careful. Then finally, Judas surrenders to covetousness, betrayal, and suicide. Judas, one of the 12, but his flaw was that he loved money, even so much that he would do anything to acquire it. John 12 and verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, as he had the money box. He used to pilfer what was put into it. He was a covetous treasurer, a thief. So he stole from what was intended to be used for the Lord and his disciples. And then there came a day in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. Matthew 26 and verse 14, then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. Then in verse 48, verse 48 of Matthew 26, now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus was taken and arrested, falsely tried, and wrongly executed, at least according to being guilty of anything, but rightly executed by being the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But Judas's part was a sinful surrender to the deceitfulness of covetousness that led to his disloyalty to the Lord Jesus. Matthew 27 and verse 4, Judas said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they, that is the chief priest and the others, said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces, that is Judas, he threw the pieces of money, of silver, into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. When Judas saw the results of his sins, he had remorse, but it was only a vain regret. He was not willing to repent of his sins and to turn from those things. And so he hanged himself, going into eternity lost. All for a few pieces of money. Many times we are deceived. Yes, I'll make that extra dollar. But that extra dollar may keep us out of the kingdom of heaven if we have to forsake the Lord to do it. What are we going to do? Well, we can resist the deceitfulness of sin only through Christ. We must learn to control the desires of the flesh by making them dead and replacing them with the righteous living that the Lord would have us do, thinking and conduct, character. But we must do so by having a burning and continuing interest in what Christ would have us do more than anything else. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that is, through repentance and baptism, trusting in Jesus, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Did you hear him? Put your mind on things that are going to glorify Christ, not on things that are going to serve ourselves in deceitful destruction. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality or fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I'm separated from those things. I'm not going to let them rule over me that I be lost. I'm going to focus on the things above, what the Lord Jesus would have me do and fill my life with. That is an ongoing effort in our lives. All of these are. And when it comes to human pride, I'm going to look at whatever the world offers me, and I'm going to recognize that being a child of God is the greatest bestowment of love and glory and grace that can be given to any human being on the face of the earth. And whatever man has to offer that would take me away from that is not worth having, because it will keep me from eternal life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, circumcised the eighth day, he had much to be proud of and glory in. That is, as far as the world was concerned, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Did you hear him? The empty honors of the world are like garbage compared to knowing Christ, because they don't lead us to eternity. Chances are, if we have to forsake Jesus, well, it's certain that we will not be with Christ in eternity. Humility before Christ is the answer to the pride of life. That is the answer. Focusing on things above and making ourselves dead to the flesh is the answer to the appeal of the flesh. And seeking the riches of Christ in faith and following him no matter what, and trusting that he will provide for us, is the answer to covetousness and all the things that it will bring to our destruction. As we draw this lesson to a close, Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, after the rich young ruler refused to give up the things that were distracting him to serve Christ. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter began to say to him, that is to Jesus, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Did you hear him? God will provide for you if you trust and obey him. But you will be persecuted because all that live godly in Christ Jesus, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, will receive persecution. But in the end, we will be glorified with him in eternal life. Do we believe that? Everything in this life is doomed to destruction, including humanity, if we do not choose to obey the gospel and do not choose to remain faithful. Everything will not lead us to eternal life. It will destroy us. The flesh, the pride of life, money, whatever it is. But in Christ, we can become what he would have us be in this life, through being made different and turning our minds to the Word of God and to the will of Christ, repenting of our sins and being baptized, first of all, for forgiveness of our sins, believing in the Lord Jesus, that he died and was raised from the dead so that we might be saved. And then as children of God, continuing to separate ourselves from sin and repenting of our sins, turning to the Lord Jesus and filling our lives with the will of Christ, that we might become more like him, more obedient, holy, and merciful, humble, righteous, loving, that we might not fall away and be deceived by these things. Let us make the choice to resist. Let us make that choice to humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus, who has died for our sins and that gives us the hope of eternal life. We're here this morning and not a child of God. Why don't you become a child of God today? We will look for that water, that you might be baptized sometime today, the Lord willing, that you might be forgiven of your sins upon your repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus. And those of us who are Christians, let us confess and turn away from our sins and pray for forgiveness, that we might turn back to him and seek those things above and seek to know Christ more than anything in this life, that we might be saved. If you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation, if we are here, let us respond as we stand and as we sing.
Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the Father, I am the way. Lord,